We've been real encouraged today as we have watched our young people, how they encourage us. And oh, how we desire nothing but the best for them. Bless us as we move forward in faith. Bless the message today. May it encourage us. May we know how important we are to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Tanya, I want to thank you and your staff. You did a wonderful job with the adventurers. I really appreciate it. I could hardly contain myself over there. And I thought Noah's Ark was cute, too. The crisis of design. Crisis of design. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Jeremiah 17 and verse 9. Genesis 6 and verse 3, she took of the fruit and ate. And she also gave to her husband with her and he ate. Genesis 4, 9, Cain rose against his brother Abel and killed him. Genesis 6 and verse 13, and God said to Noah, I have determined to make an end of all flesh, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. Now I'm going to destroy them along with the earth. Psalm 143 and verse 2, and David said, in your sight no one living is righteous. 1 Kings 8 and verse 46, there is no one who does not sin. Romans 3 and verse 23, we all know the passage, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. 1 John 1 and verse 8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 22, in Adam all die. Romans 5 and verse 12, through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men and women, because all have sinned. Whew. All of these texts are true. And they say how much we need a Savior. How much we need Jesus. You know that old serpent, the devil. He doesn't want us to accept Jesus. He doesn't want Jesus to be Lord of our lives, so he deceives us. And society pitches the old devil as a comic creature with a pitchfork and horns and a long tail and a red suit. But that's really not, he's not like that. The Bible calls Satan the adversary. He's wily and he's dangerous. And when 1 Peter 5 and verse 8 speaks of the devil, calls him deceptive. Comes like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And he'll take the truth and he'll twist it to suit his design. I read someplace where it was mentioned that Satan's deadliest weapon is not what you think it is. His deadliest weapon is that he is a destroyer of dreams. He will fill you up with fears and doubts and feelings of inferiority and inadequacy. And then if you think about yourself as inferior and worthless, are you listening to me? I think I heard one amen. Are you listening to me? Amen. If you think about yourself as being inferior or worthless, then you will think that God does not really care or love you. And then such thinking will lead to the questions that often come into our minds. Questions of resentment. Questions that will erode our relationship with God. And we'll start saying things to ourselves like, isn't it His fault? Talking about crisis of design. Isn't it His fault that I am the way that I am? Didn't God make me? He probably should have done it differently. But He didn't. So He must not care for me. He cares for others. He gives them. You know, it always seemed like when I was growing up, I was real scrawny when I was growing up. I had the smallest arms, and they're still too small, according to me. Even though I gain weight, it never goes on my arms. It comes right in the middle where I don't need it. And that used to bother me growing up as a young boy. Why did not God give me big muscles? Some might say, why did not God give me long and silky hair? You might be asking that. Why did not God give me curves? Why did God not give me good looks? They're okay. But I'm not okay. And then when we finish blaming God, we blame the devil. And we say the devil made me do it. And then we say, didn't God create the devil? No, He didn't, but we'll ask that question. So I'm talking about crisis of design. You see, once you become critical of the design, then it's not a big leap until you feel resentment toward the designer or God Himself. And when we question the value of the design, we start to experience issues that I'm going to talk about for the next 15 minutes. It's not talked about anymore, but it's still relevant. And it's relevant to you as adventurers. I'm going to talk about something that I want you to keep and not have it be low. And that is self-esteem. What did I say, adventurers? Self what? Self-esteem. Now, let me tell you what that is. Now, and again, that's fallen out of favor, and we don't talk about that anymore. But self-esteem is when we hold something in high esteem. What does that mean? When you admire something, you admire someone. Someone does good things, they do things well, we admire them. And so, when we have self-esteem, it has to do with how we look at ourselves. How we feel about ourselves. How we feel about the way we do things. That has to do with self-esteem. Now, I'm not talking about bragging. But I'm talking about a quiet knowing that you are worth something. Adventurers, I want you to know this morning that you are very precious to God. That God loves you. That you are important to God. Now, I know that this very sermon is disturbing some of us. Because what we have heard so much, so long, is that we are just pure worms. Isn't that right? Well, I think we need a balance. That's why I gave you the text at the beginning. We need a balance, and we need to tell our young people that they are precious to God. Amen? They need to know that. You know why they need to know that? Because the statistics say that when preschoolers start school, that at least 80% of them have the tools, they have what it takes to make it through this world because they feel good about themselves. 80% of preschoolers. But by the time they get to seventh grade, only 20% feel good about themselves or have the tools that it takes to make it in this world. And by the time they get to high school, how many of you think have good self-esteem? 5%. That's why we're going to have to over and over, parents, keep telling our children that they are precious to God, that they're worth something to God, that God loves them. Amen? We have to preach it. Some of us get mad if we're not preaching hellfire and brimstone. We think that's not the gospel. The gospel is that God loves us. You got to tell it over and over and over to our young people so that they can keep strong self-esteem. Now, when you read the Spirit of Prophecy, and if you go and I know some of you will go and look in your index, it almost gives the impression that self-esteem is negative. Selfishness is negative. I think it's coming from that vein. But feeling good about yourself in Jesus is good. Amen? One of the ways that parents, you can help your children to feel good about themselves in the Lord. What I was reading, there's a whole lot to read in that area. Children that are undisciplined have low self-esteem. You must discipline and give kids boundaries. Are you with me? If you let them do anything they want to do, they will grow up and have low self-esteem. And they will act it out. Discipline your children. Give them boundaries while you're telling them how precious they are to God. Amen? And how much you love them. Another thing is the writers say that we ought to do. We ought to, from the very beginning, give our children words that they can hang on that will help their self-esteem. Words like, I want you to decide. And then you help them to decide to do the right thing. Are you with me? Use the word decide and the word choice. Help them to make distinctions between the right choice. You got to do that. That helps them to build good self-esteem. That's what the experts say regarding that. Discipline and choice words. Choice. Make the right choice. Decide. But I got good news for you. Real good news. Psalm 139. Powerful scripture that is ours to hold on from now on. I like to read it in a more modern version. I like to read verse 1 and then verses 13 through 17. You don't have to turn there unless you want to, but I want to share with you a more modern version of it and encourage your heart. Lord, you have examined me. You know about me. You made me. You formed me in my mother's body. And I praise you because you made me in an amazing and wonderful way. Some of us remember the more King James version. We are fearfully and wonderfully made in verse 14. That's the one we know well. What you have done is wonderful, and I know this very well. You saw my bones being formed as I took shape in my mother's body. When I was put together there, you saw my body as it was formed. And all the days for me were written in your book before I was one day old. God, your thoughts are precious to me. They are so many. God loves you, adventurers. You are precious to him. If you don't remember anything else, I want you to know that God loves you. What did I say, adventurers? God loves you. That's exactly right. When you say that the next time, put your name at the end of it. God loves you. In fact, I want the whole congregation right this moment, I want you to say, God loves, and then I want you to say your name. God loves Gerald. That's right. God loves you. You are precious to Him. You are worth something. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. God designed you. You know, God could have spoke you into existence. You'd have just happened. But is that what God did? No, God got down there and He formed you. He put His hands on you, put you together, molded you. And then He got down and He breathed into you the breath of life. And then you became a living being. You know why God did that? He wanted you to know that you were precious to Him and that He loved you. So whenever you hear that story, I want you to know that God loves you, that you're precious to Him, and that you're worth something to Him. What makes us wonderful to God? Believe it or not, we're fearfully and wonderfully made. Fearful in that in this world we have death and pain and sickness and sorrow, and that faces us. But sometimes I think we focus more on that and we learn more about that than the fact of the wonderful part. Do you know that you are wonderful? Some of you have a hard time even listening to this, because you've been told over the years how bad you are. But I want to let you know today that you are wonderful. God gave you imagination. God gave you intellect. God gave you the ability to judge. He gave you the ability to receive love. He gave you a conscience. He gave you a will. You are wonderful. You know what else makes us wonderful? It's not our goodness. Once Jesus was asked a question about the commandments, and He replied in Matthew chapter 22 and verse 39, the second is like unto it, you ought to love your neighbor as thyself. And the tendency is for us to take care of ourselves. But God wants us to take care of our fellow human beings. Even before we take care of ourselves. And in order for us to do that, we have to love God supremely. You know what makes us special? It's God. It's God and His grace. The Bible says in Romans 5 and verse 20, where sin abound, grace did much more abound. Where sin increased, another version says grace increased all the more. Another version, the Moffat translation, says sin increased, but grace surpassed it by far. One writer says guilt says you're worthless, and you're rebellious, and you're wretched, and you're undeserving of one more breath of life. But grace says, I know that's true, but God loves you. And He loves you so much so, and He values you so much so, that He laid down His life that you might live. Adventurers in Fallbrook, it's important for you to know how much God loves you. How special you are to Him. You're going to have a lot of pressures as you grow up. And some are going to tell you it's things that will give you the kind of self-esteem that you need. But it's not things. It's a person. Jesus Christ. Fallbrook, I hope you saw our young people up here today. In the future, I honestly believe this with all my heart. They are in the position to be the most powerful and the most dangerous people in all the earth. You didn't get that. And maybe you don't understand it. They're in the position, these young people that you saw up front, to be the most powerful and the most dangerous people in all the earth. Why do I say that? Because they're growing up and you're teaching them upright morals. You're teaching them to eat clean living, to eat right. You're teaching them to live right. You're teaching them to treat their fellow mankind right. You're teaching them to be spiritual. You're teaching them to read the Bible and know what the Word of God says. Clean, upright, spiritual, dangerous. In this world, that goes against everything that the world says. They're going to put so much pressure on our young people. But I want you to know that you are precious to God. And don't fall for the tricks of the devil. When people come up to you and they try and give you something and take something into you that you know you shouldn't have, I want you to just tell them, I'm God's child. See, because you have to know that not because the church says it, although I trust that the church will always say it. But you have to know it because you know who you are. I shared in the first service, I'll share it again. And I share it only for the fact that it has encouraged me. One of the things that has encouraged, and I don't like to do this often and I won't, but it's the best example that I have for myself. One of the things that I've learned from my wife that's been encouraging to me is that my wife has always had a sense of who she is. That has been very encouraging to me. I believe that my wife can go anywhere and work with anybody at any time. You know why that happens? Because she knows who she is. And that has encouraged me. Wherever I go, I'm comfortable because I know Jesus. Amen? Because He has changed me and made my life different. And I recognize now it doesn't matter if my arms are not that big. Who cares? You wouldn't know if I didn't tell you. Does that really matter? Is that important? Absolutely not. That's self-esteem issue that I have to deal with. What is important is what kind of character do I have? What kind of person am I on the inside? Not whether or not I'm wearing the particular suit with the labels in them. It doesn't matter if you carry a Louis Vuitton purse. What matters is what's inside. Let me tell you a story, then we'll close. Adventurers, what do I want you to learn today? I want you to learn that God what? God loves you, and you are precious to Him. Story about Hannah. This particular day, Hannah bought like there was no tomorrow. She went and she saw a dress, an evening dress. It was $900. It was on sale. It was regular 12. She just had to have it. It was an interesting thing. She already had two other evening dresses, but she had to have that one. And Hannah had clothes. Her closet was full of clothes. But it's interesting. When Hannah went to work downtown in the office, she only wore three or four dresses, even though her closet was full. She browned bags. She took a bag of lunch to work every day so she would not have to spend any money, and she walked to work. Even spent her vacation working at McDonald's to earn some extra money to pay on the 7 credit cards that she had. It was becoming a real problem. Especially after that special day when she bought $500 worth of cosmetics. Things were becoming such a problem that her boss had to call her in about her finances. I imagine they might have been calling on her job to collect. And so when her boss called her in, she recognized that she was in trouble. And so recognizing that she was in trouble, she sought help. She sought help from a counselor, and guess what the counselor found out? Now, you got to listen to this story. Know what the counselor found out from Hannah? That Hannah spent primarily on the weekends when she was lonely or when she was having anxiety. She got something out of this spending. But that wasn't just it. A lot of us do that. Amen. You don't have to say amen. A lot of us do that. That's not the issue. What she found out was that she got something out of interacting with the clerks behind the counter. When they saw her come in, they thought of her as being somebody important. And so she would go in there and buy things that she could not afford so that she could be important. And I want to read the exact words. The buying binges were an attempt to make up for the missing elements in her life. Shopping provided her with the companionship with salespeople in the store, and they made her feel like somebody who counted, someone worthwhile. I got news for Hannah. She is missing it. You know where she should have been on the weekend, don't you? Right here. This is where you start to feel like somebody. It's because God has touched your life. If that can't make you feel good, you can't feel good. If the touch of God can't make you feel good, and it can, then you can't feel good. Buying things will never give you the esteem that you need. If you don't believe it, just ask your parents about all the stars in Hollywood. What really matters is that you know that God loves you and that you are precious to Him. So you may not look like everybody else. You may not have the same hair color. Jonathan, come up and stand with me. Let's show everybody how different we look. Come stand with me. Let me see. Look at us. But we are brothers. Amen? I I'm tall and he's short. But one day he's going to be tall and I'm going to get a little shorter. But we are still brothers in Jesus Christ. Isn't that what really matters? It's people, not things. Let's pray. Thank you, Jonathan. You can sit down. Thank you. You did well. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the adventurers. We thank you that you have given them joy, real joy. And it comes from knowing you. They have touched you. And they have touched us today. Self-esteem. We have nothing to boast about. The only thing that makes us what we are is the grace of Jesus. We thank you. And that has encouraged us. That has lifted our spirits today. And Lord, as we think about your goodness and your grace, may we touch the lives of someone else with that goodness and let them know that they are somebody in Jesus too. We thank you. We praise your name. We thank you for these young lives. Lord, that means that we're going to have to start praying more for them. They have major hurdles to overcome, but they can do it because you love them. And they are worth so much to you. So much so that you are willing to die for them. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. We'd like to conclude our service today with the